Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Amen and amen. Well, it is an honor and a privilege to bring back to the platform here at Release City a very, very dear friend of mine and Amy's. We go all the way back to 2009, speaking of like 100 years old. I feel like that's how long it's been. And you've heard me say before, her sweet mom and grandmother sat right behind us at the church, and when she was in town, she would be there. And I didn't know that when we moved away from Georgia, that connection, but that's how God does, that connection would still be there. She speaks to literally thousands of people around the world and across our country. She is one of the most sought after, I know she doesn't like this word, speaker. She'll correct me in just a minute, I'm sure. But she is one of the most sought after communicators that our college campuses, and I'm going to go ahead and just say it is the Ohio State Buckeyes. I actually saw a video the other day. You can bring that music down just a little bit. I saw the video the other day where they put an emphasis not just on the football and all of those expectations, but we've got athletes that struggle with mental health, and they make sure they put an emphasis on the needs of their athletes, not just get out on the field and do for me. And I know that's not just Ohio State, because you speak to all of the college campuses and the athletes. So, ladies and gentlemen, Release City Church family, would you please give a warm welcome to our friend, Miss Rachel. Come on, y'all can do it.
It's all yours. Okay. All right, let me unhand everything I got up here. All right, y'all, how y'all doing this morning? Who's heard me before? I just want to do a show of hands. Okay. All right. So I got about half and half here, and I am so excited this morning. I've got a message for you. You know, one thing I want to say really quickly, and first of all, I'm going to move really fast. People say I talk really fast. I do. And so I'm going to ask you to take notes. Please, please take notes, because I spent 17 years as a sports reporter, y'all, and I wrote about this in my first book, which is in the back, and I'll sign that if you want to grab a copy of it afterwards. But I said this in my first book, is that we think we're going to remember our lives, right? And we get, first of all, we were not meant to do life with this. Okay, and it's great to be connected in a lot of ways, and I use social media for the positive, but y'all, we were not meant to hear about every murder, every kidnapping, every terrible thing, every single day. And I was telling my husband the other day, and doom scroll, you know? So I'm going to drop like nugget after nugget after nugget. I'm a teaching speaker. I'm a teaching communicator. And so please, please take notes this morning. And Pastor Amy said something, y'all. Listen to me. You look, the ills of it for sure, but God uses this too, okay? And what am I saying here? I'm saying I live over in Yulee near Amelia Island, and for the past couple of months, I've just put out a message on my Facebook, hey, if anybody wants to go to church with me, I got a seat next to me. And y'all, 2 and 3 people have come to church with me. And last year, I invited a girlfriend of mine, and then I wasn't there. I was traveling one Sunday, and she sent me a picture of her and her children, and they had all at the same time raised their hands to get saved, and then I got to baptize them. And that starts with an invitation. So listen to me, as you go about your day this week, there is somebody at the grocery store, there's somebody at the gas station, there's somebody at your work that is on the verge of coming to church, and they could be in heaven because of you and obviously because of Jesus. And all it took was you making a post on Facebook or X or Snapchat or Instagram or LinkedIn or any of the things saying, if you want to come to church with me, I'd love, and I have a seat next to me. Okay, can I challenge y'all to do that this morning? Okay, good. All right, that's my first challenge. And I'm going to challenge y'all with a couple of things, a lot of things this morning. You know, it was so amazing this morning when I came for the huddle beforehand, and we were talking about what he shared just a moment ago, my brother did, about I call it the duality of life, okay? Write that word. That's, you know, you might be like, what is she talking about? The duality. What do you mean, Rachel? I mean that two things can be going on at once, Two things can be going on at once in your life. And underneath that word duality, I want you to write this phrase for me. Y'all ready for it? The messy middle. The messy middle. I'm a walker, y'all. I might end up in your face in the back row. Come encourage you, come smile. I don't know if I got to stay in the range of this camera, but I'm a walker. The messy middle. Now, listen, I ain't going to ask you right this moment, but maybe by the end of this service, y'all, there are people in this room that are in the messy middle right now. Okay? I will be brave and tell you that I'm in the messy middle right now. Okay? I will take off my mask and be vulnerable and tell you that I'm in the messy middle. The messy middle does not mean we've given up. The messy middle does not mean that we've forgotten God's promises. The messy middle does not mean that we don't know in our deepest parts of our soul that God will do it, that he will bring it to fruition, that he will complete his path. But y'all, if I didn't remind y'all of this today, we're having a human experience, okay? You are a human being with a soul. Okay, and so having that human experience, we know that there is heartbreak, there is division, there is sadness, there is longing, there is destruction. We live in a fallen world, okay? So if you're in the messy middle this morning, I just want to remind you that that I'm there with you. And there's solidarity in numbers, and that this too shall pass. And that Romans 8:28, he uses all things for his glory. And speaking of destruction, y'all, I just want to see if y'all will do something with me really, really quickly. I believe in the collective and community power of prayer. And right now, I just got a text message. I was heading out November 13th to speak at a college up in the northernmost part of Maine. And the coach just messaged me, or the AD there, and he said, hey, listen, you know, some of our teams are going to the Nationals. Can we reschedule, you know, for just another week or two? And I said, sure. And he said, oh, by the way, we have a ton of our athletes whose family members are in Jamaica. And if you're not, haven't been following the news, this latest hurricane is stalling out, or is forecasted to be stalling out over Jamaica. And so I believe, y'all, and obviously we've all been through hurricanes in the state of Florida, but we know who commands the winds and the waves. And if I can remind you, does anybody have tissue? Because I know I'm going to cry this morning. Thank you. And may I remind you that we still serve, thank you, sister, we still serve a God that parts Red Seas. We still serve a God. Oh, by the way, if you haven't heard me before, please don't be silent. I'm not a silent type of person. I always tell people you can snap, clap, holler, do a dance, take a lap around the building, you know, but you may not come back by the time you take a lap around this entire building. But please, please don't be quiet. If you like something I say, I'll be in church. I was over here. I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, woo, you know. And that's just how I am. So please don't feel like you have to be silent this morning. But can we just take a moment? I'm just going to say a quick prayer over Jamaica. And every animal, every home, every family, every church, every business, every blade of grass. And so let's just do that this morning collectively, okay? Father God, I just come before you right now and pray out. Well, we're going to pray out loud. I want everybody in this building just to pray out loud so our Father in heaven can hear the collective prayers for Jamaica. And so, God, we just come before you right now, God. Every soul in this house is praying out loud right now for Jamaica. God, you are a God that commands the winds and the waves. You are a God that still does miracles. You are a God that commands our lives and orders our steps. God, we ask for a supernatural favor for this storm to break up, for it to move, God. We ask for protection over every animal, every business, every house, every person. And let what happens in the coming days in this island, Lord, and all the surrounding islands, Lord, let whatever happens, God, for it to be a testament to you. Let there be people that come together. Let there be churches that help people. Let there be people that feed each other and people that lift each other up, God, and that you will get the glory. And so we just thank you, God, from Release City Church to Jamaica. We send all the prayers, Lord, and to break up the storm and to use it, Lord, to use this storm for your glory. Amen. Thank y'all. That just, I told the coach, literally just texted him. I said, I'm about to speak at a church. I'm going to ask them all to pray for you. Because where two or more are gathered in their midst, in his midst, he is there. And so thank y'all for that. The messy middle, y'all. The messy middle. I love, if y'all want to go with me to Acts 16. And I love this story. And it's Paul and Silas are in prison. Okay. Paul and Silas are in prison. I'm going to jump around a little bit. So in verse 16, they were on their way to prayer, and a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God." And she did this for many days. Now, I love this verse. I said this other day to a group. I love this because it just makes me feel better about life and living life. But it says, "And Paul was greatly annoyed." Does that not give you a little peace, you know, that some days you're just like, "Rrr." And we were talking about it earlier. That means when you got to turn the car around and go apologize, you know, because we're going to have moments where we are, we're not at our best, y'all, because like I said, we're having a human experience, okay? Some of us are in the messy middle. And baby, if you are not in the messy middle and God has answered your prayer and you're out of it and you're out of the diagnosis and you're on the other side, it is your job to encourage and throw the rope back for people that are still in the messy middle. It is. And I live my life as a testimony to people who are still in the messy middle. And that testimony is for me. You know, sometimes I just have to look at myself in the mirror and talk to myself and say, "Rachel, when has God forsaken you? When has he left you? When you lost everything, he was still there." Back in 2020, at the end of 2020, I lost my house. I used to say I lost everything, but I did not. I didn't lose my faith. I didn't lose my life. And guess what? When I lose my life from this earthly life, the moment that I leave here is the moment that you and I will be standing on the front porch of heaven. And so we don't grieve, y'all. If you're in here, and we're going to have an altar call later, but as believers, and if you need to make that step today, but we don't grieve like normal people grieve, because guess what? We know this life is but a vapor, and then we're going to go, and the moment that I leave here, I'm stepping on the front porch of heaven. I don't know about y'all, but that brings me great peace. And so what I say and what I teach people across the country, wherever I am, is to use this life, every breath, every moment, every day that we have, because we know it's not promised, right? Recently, I'm going to get back to the scripture in a minute. I told you I'm squirrel. You know, I'm all over the place, but I land the plane. Recently, my mom's brother passed. I lost my mom about 6 years ago, and I was in Vegas just a few days ago speaking to a law enforcement conference, about 450 women in law enforcement. It was amazing. And, you know, standing next to these bad mama jammas, you know, and I'm having dinner with them. I'm like, and I'm just a speaker. I'm not downing myself, but I'm like, these women are like, you know, responsible for all the things and all the policing that's happening in Las Vegas. But I was with the cab driver and I was talking to him, and we were talking about people having near-death experiences. And it got me to thinking that in all of these near-death experiences that I have read about and listened to, I have never heard of one where someone died, came back and said, "Psych, by the way, heaven isn't real." Have you? I haven't. There's not one. There's not one. There's non-believers that go and they say, "Oh, by the way, there's a hell. There really is a hell. And oh, by the way, there really is a heaven." But I have not, that I know of, and I'm going to keep researching, okay? But I have not ever seen, heard of one documented case where somebody went, died, came back, and said, "Oh, by the way, there's no heaven." Heaven is for real, y'all. It's for real. And my pastor in Yulee, he says, and it's strong, and I don't know any other way but to be strong. You know, that's just my nature. But he says, the moment that you die and pass away from this earth, if you do not know God, you will wish you were never born. And that's heavy and strong. But Pastor D, I said it for you, and it's true. So my uncle is passing away. He had a lung a lung problem, and they knew that it was going to take him, a lung disease. And y'all, he was in the hospital. My cousin called me, and she said, "You're not going to believe this, but my daddy is not lucid. He's been asking for stuff that, you know, he don't even do. He's been asking to smoke cigarettes, and he never smoked. You know, he's just crazy stuff, not lucid." She said, "But he sat up in the bed and started reaching out and calling for your mama." Yo, my mama had come to get her brother and take him to heaven. And I don't know if that don't, that like, that just, woo, yeah? That got me like right up in my feels to know that, our loved ones and Jesus have prepared a place for us. So I just had to say that. That was just a little aside from the scripture here that's been on my heart, that's been on my soul lately. And so we're going back to the scripture. So Paul is annoyed, and he turns to the Spirit and he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out of her right away. I want to make a point here real quick. Even the demons know his name. Even the demons know his name. And the same power that they had to command this demon to come out of this slave is the same power that you carry. I shared this morning in the huddle. Pastor Bradley alluded to it. I don't call myself a speaker anymore. I call myself a sacred space holder. And so I want you to write that phrase down. I am, and I want you to write this, I am a sacred space holder. I am a sacred space holder. What are you talking about, Rachel? When you go back and feed that child who doesn't have any lunch money, when you give bears, when you turn around at the gas station and are kind to somebody and go back and compliment them, when you go back and apologize and humble yourself and look like Christ and have a stature and a way about you like Christ, you are a sacred space holder. Right? The goal is, and what I said to them, y'all, I want to get to heaven one day and somebody say, "I'm here because of you. I'm here because of you." So you too are a sacred space holder. You too can say to somebody, can speak life over somebody who has demons in them and is being attacked. And you could say, I'm a soldier for Christ, right? Come out. I'm a soldier for Christ. So please don't ever forget that you too are a sacred space holder. Okay. And so they come, I'm going to fast forward, they get in front of the chief magistrates, they say they're disturbing our city, the crowd joined in the attack against them, okay, and let me pause here and say this, anybody, you don't have to raise your hand yet, you can just, but anybody ever been in a time in your life where you felt attacked and you felt others joined in on the attack, okay? Can I give you a little bit of peace this morning? They also went through that in the Bible, right? Jesus himself went through that in the Bible. So baby, listen to me. When you feel like you're all alone and like nobody else has gone through what you're going through, it brings me peace to know that people in the Bible have gone through exactly what I have gone through. I am not special. I am not different. I mean, I am special. You're special. We're made in the image of Christ. But I'm going through the same thing that these people went through in the Bible, okay? And so we're going to fast forward just a little bit. After they'd been severely flogged, they threw them in jail, and they ordered the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them in the inner prison and secured their stocks. Now, we're at 25 here, 1625, Acts 1625. Let me say something else real quick. Somebody taught me this, and I mark up my Bible, y'all. Listen to me. Some of y'all's Bible, y'all need to knock some dust off of it. Okay, because somebody's going to get this Bible, and every time I go to church or I study, I put my date, what church I was at, and who I was with. Because somebody's, it's like, you know, like four or five Bibles I have, but so I put Release City Church, I put the date, and I underline it. And I'll go back through my Bibles, and I'm like, oh, I was with my husband here. Oh, I was with my friend here. Oh, I've got a King's Pasture there, where I was with Pastor Bradley and Pastor Amy. And y'all, do you know testimony. Do y'all know that a picture came up the other day of when I got baptized and rededicated my life, y'all? And it was me coming out of the baptism tank, and y'all, my upper arm was the size of my wrist. Y'all, I had been I had been battling with addiction for 9 years. So you see how little my wrist is. My literal upper arm was the size of my wrist. And I had just come out of the baptismal tank, and I just thought, praise God, when I saw that picture of what God can do. So listen to me. If y'all know somebody who is struggling with addiction, there is another side. If you know somebody who is just in the throes of it right now, there is another side. You can tell them about your friend Rachel, who God has taken a mess and turned it into a message, has taken me from the guttermost to the uttermost, y'all. Pastor Bradley and I were talking about this before. We asked, you know, somebody asked me the other day, do you still get nervous for what you do? Because I speak to all different kinds, you know, law enforcement. I go into maximum security prisons. Y'all have heard my stories before. I go into colleges, high schools, churches. There's really nowhere I won't go. And somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you still get nervous? And I said, yes, I still get nerves. And I said, the moment that I stop getting nerves is the moment that I need to stop doing this, because that means I've gotten too big for my britches, as my mama would say, you know? So I get nerves. And here's another word I want you to write down and circle it, awe, A-W-E, awe. Y'all, some of us, and I ain't looking at nobody out there particularly, because I've been here before too. Some of us, we get so busy and we get so distracted and we get so, you know, we put our blinders on. And we were talking about this morning, perspective. Perspective helps us come back to focus, and focus is God. But y'all, I try to live my life in a sense of awe and wonder. I was driving from Gainesville to here this morning, and I thought, other than all the little animals that lost their life on the side of the road, that drive is so pretty. Like all the old trees and the farmland and the fields and the old oaks. I live my life in a sense of awe and wonder. And I'm like, God, you made this. So when is the last time you have marveled at something? When is the last time you have been at something and said, you know, when's the last time you looked at your partner? I don't care how long you've been married, and said, baby, you are hot. You are good looking. You do it for me, you know? I tell my husband that all the time. I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, you know, you sent me a 6'3" Viking German with the chiseled, and his soul is prettier, y'all. His soul is even more amazing. And this morning it was funny. My son, they didn't know, because I'm in the middle of like speaking 4 times in 2 weeks everywhere, from Birmingham, Alabama, to Las Vegas, to Greensboro, to here. And so my son did not know that I was coming this morning to speak here. And he just texted me, my bonus baby, and he said, can my girlfriend come over? And I said, yes, you know, yes. And I said, I really love her and I love you too, you know. But I said to my husband, I said, that makes my mama heart happy that he wants to bring his girlfriend over, and he wanted her to hang out with us and be in our home. And they go to church with me. He'll come to church with me at a church much like this, and then he'll go to a different church. But to see my son next to me praise God and raise his hands and proclaim God, and all of my children, y'all, I'm in awe of that. So I want you this week to take off. We talked about spiritual goggles last time. I want you this week to take off any blinders and put on your goggles. Put your goggles back on and live in a sense of awe and wonder. The flowers. I had somebody, a speaker one time, say, pretend as if you're an alien and you're coming to Earth for the first time and you ain't never seen that Walmart. Wow, it's a Walmart. It's got lots of stuff in it, you know? What is this? A credit card. I can misuse it. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, if you think of that perspective, think I'm an alien. I ain't never seen this tree before. I ain't never seen this flower before, sir, back there with the awesome beard. You know, like, that's an awesome beard, you know. If you live in a sense of awe and wonder, it's huge. It changes everything. And the moment I stop complaining, or the moment I start complaining, I start grumbling my spirit, I will tell myself, I will preach to myself, and I will say, Rachel, you need to change that perspective and live in a sense of awe and wonder. Awe and wonder that you get to ride on this airplane, that they want you there, that you get to stay in this hotel, that you've been asked back, that you get to work, that your legs work, that your mouth works, that you can sing and you can dance and you can walk and you can clap in an awe and wonder, y'all. It's So let me tell you something. This, the messy middle, man, it'll try to steal your joy. And here's the other thing about the messy middle. Let me give you another little nugget here. Is the enemy will come at you extra hard in the messy middle and try to get you to not believe the promises of God. I was sitting at a red light the other day, and the enemy whispered in my ear. He's whispered to me before, and he sounds like a serpent to me. And he said to me, because of your past, you're not gonna have what you pray for. You're not worthy of it. And I had an older friend of mine that was like an adopted grandpa, and he said, you know, just shake your mouth, shake that rusty fish hook out of your mouth. And I literally started shaking my head, and I was like, no, my God said my sins are cast from the east to the west. My God forgave me. My God washed me white as snow. My God said he's not done with my life yet. My God said his plans are greater than anything I could think or imagine. No, y'all got to get on the offensive. We can go to football games and cheer and cheer and holler and get on internet and say this and say that. Some of y'all need to think about what you put on the internet. And if we can do that, y'all, we got to shake the rusty fish hook out of our mouth, start talking back to the enemy and say, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, you have to flee. Just like they told that woman, that slave woman who was making a lot of money for her masters, and they were mad. They were mad about that because they upset the apple cart. But this slave woman was so grateful that they got this demon out of her of foretelling, of fortune telling, right? If he can do that, you can do that same thing. So listen to me and go ahead and be prepared. I'm giving you a battle plan. I give people battle plans all over the country. This battle plan is if you're in the messy middle, he's going to come to you like a serpent, the devil, underneath your feet, and he's going to start lying to you about our God. And please, please, please remember what I said and do not fall for it. Do not fall for it. As a matter of fact, you get on the offensive, especially to the men in this room. You know, I speak to a lot of men about their souls. Men, you were born to lead. You were born to serve. You were born to step into that masculinity and to protect and to guide. Don't let anybody in this world take that away from you or tell you it's bad. You do it in love. You do it in service to God. But we need you. We need you out there on the front lines of your family saying, no, we are going to sit down and eat tonight. No, we are going to pray. No, we are going to go to church. We are, y'all. I saw a thing the other day on Facebook where this teacher was talking to these kids in the classroom, and they were very, very talkative, and she was asking them, you know, what's going on? They said, well, we don't have, the great number of them said, we don't go home and talk to our parents. So she gave them a challenge to go home and ask their parents, try to start up a conversation, try to have dinner. And she said, I think it was 20 kids, and she said, out of these 20 kids, only two parents had a meaningful conversation or dinner with them at home. They reported back, and we got a lot of people out there talking about this generation, these kids are so bad, these kids are rotten. Sometimes, y'all, we need to look in the mirror. And I coach people, and I speak, and you know what I say to people? The way up, besides Jesus, is looking in the mirror. One of the greatest questions we can ask ourselves is, what part of this suffering do I own? That is not a fun thing to say. And people don't bring me in to say all nice and fanciful things. But if you really want to grow, I double dog dare you to look in the mirror and say to yourself, what part of this suffering do I own? So I'm challenging you in love today, y'all. Could you? And these kids said, my mom was too busy. My granny was too busy. She said after her shows, but she watched her shows all night. They said, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Here's some takeout. You know, we don't have time to sit at the table. Y'all, listen to me. There is a movement that is happening in this country where people are getting back to chickens and books and in person and dinners. And I mean, people are craving vintage, old connection, people, humans, eyeballs, hugs, all of it. Right? And so I challenge you this week to be, if you were in that control group and part of that challenge, to sit down with your family and say, no, we're going to have dinner. We're going to have dinner. We're going to talk. Put the phones down. We're going to talk. Tell me about your day. Don't just ask your kids, tell me about your day. Ask your kids, who'd you help today? I ask my kids that. Who'd you help today? Who'd you love? Who'd you touch? You know, because you're very blessed. Who'd you help today? So, side note there, we'll get back to the scripture. But this is one of my favorite verses, okay? So Acts 16:25, y'all ready for this? He said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Woo, y'all, they had been flogged, they had been beaten, and they had been thrown in jail. And at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns. Woo! So I came to ask you today, who will you sing to while you're in the messy middle? Who will you sing to while you're in the messy middle? And right now, I want to challenge you in your notes to think about who you need to touch and to minister to. Do y'all recognize that you might be the only Jesus that somebody sees this week? I had a friend that said, I want to be a Bible with skin on it. I think I've said that here before. We will never achieve that, but we can try. It's a beautiful goal, right? So who will you sing to this week if you're in it, or this month while you're in the messy middle? I saw somebody else that said this morning, please don't take out a credit card for Christmas. Don't go into debt for Christmas. I start thinking about, who can I bless this Christmas? Who can I help? Who can I give to? Who can I, you know, with the government shutdown, who can we feed next month if that persists? Who can we bake for? Who can we give eggs to? Y'all, that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to be his hands and his feet in these times, in these uncertain times. He wants us to sing and praise while we are in jail, while we are in the messy middle. And we might grumble for a moment. I'm sure they grumbled. I'm sure when they put the shackles on their legs, they grumbled for a minute. But you know what? After that grumbling, they started singing and praising at midnight. And listen to this part. Your praises. So I'm going to keep reading. Okay. I'm excited. Woo. I'm like ready to go now. And that 26 says, and suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the jail. And immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains came loose. Y'all, your praises and your hymns will cause God to send an earthquake in your situation. He will show up. I always pray. I say, God, let it be so impossible, so crazy, so big in your own way that I can't say to anybody I did that, that I have to do this. I don't have to. I get to do this and say that was God. That was not me. That had nothing to do with my own understanding, my own might, my own strength. That was God. Amen, brother. Amen. And so this is happening. And then the jailer, you know, he was tasked with making sure they went to jail and watching them closely. And he said, when the jailer woke up and he saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and he was going to kill himself because he knew he had failed in his earthly job. Okay. And because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul said to him in a loud voice, don't harm yourself because we're all here. And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And it goes on. Yes, it goes on really quickly to say, in the same hour of the night, they washed their wounds, and right away he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house. He set a meal before them, and he rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household. Y'all, who in your life, this is it, this is like the crux of the, who in your life is going to get saved because they saw how you praised and prayed during your messy middle? Amen. The duality of life. It's the duality of life. It's what I asked you at the beginning of this. I might be heartbroken, but I'll praise in my heartbrokenness. I might be waiting. I might not understand it, But I will still praise and honor and seek him and point people towards him. Y'all can feel joy and pain in the same breath. You can. Whoever told you that you couldn't is I don't know where they are, okay? Because they're false. You can be grieving and still have hope and joy in the same breath. You can be crushed and afflicted. Yes, ma'am. You can be crushed and afflicted and still have peace, joy, and hope. We are a human heart and have a human condition and a human soul that is experiencing all the things at once. That's what I wrote the book about, Relentless Joy. And I got some copies in the back. I can sign them for you afterwards if you want one. But that's what I wrote about it. I said, how to find joy and fight for it. Like, you know, when things are tough, fight for it, okay? So I just want to remind you today that if you feel broken or confused or sad, don't let that keep you from coming to church. If you feel heartbroken, if you feel like, you know what, man, I messed up, don't let the devil tell you that you cannot tell somebody about Jesus because you are imperfect. Newsflash, we're all imperfect, okay? This story, it got me really good. And what I want to also say to you is this. I want to give you this other scripture. Job, he also, obviously we know the story of Job, and if you don't, go read it. I don't have the time to go into it, but he was greatly crushed, greatly afflicted. And it said, despite his pain, Job does not curse God. He ultimately clings to his faith, affirming his trust in God's goodness and providence, even when he does not understand his circumstances. And he states, I love this, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And then God later restores his fortunes and blesses him with more than before, concluding the story with a sense of redemption and joyful restoration. And Paul was the same, y'all. He was being crushed. He was being afflicted. He was being all those things. And he was still praising God. He was still writing these letters. I went just recently. I got a chance to go to Italy, and I went to the church in Rome where they believe that he was, where Paul was, and it was this hole in the ground, and I went and I just sat there and I wept, and I was like, my gracious, this is where he sat with his life when he was in prison, and the messages that he sent out from his heart while he was in prison, he was in the messy middle. Baby, I came to remind you, if you're in the messy middle, keep going. You don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay there. And the other thing I want to say to y'all this morning is I want to give y'all this idea, just a little nugget here this morning before I finish. And that is that God is dropping breadcrumbs to you right now. He sends people, he sends songs, he sends music, he sends books, he sends all sorts of people to send you messages of hope. Okay, how do I know that? Somebody here, last time I was here, that's why I needed the tissue. Last time I was here, and by the way, he's so handsome, looking at your daddy right here. Last time I was here, somebody slipped a envelope in my journal that had some cash in it. And I really needed it. I needed it to make ends meet. I needed it. And I was preaching, sharing my testimony. There's a place in Birmingham that's called the Love Lady Center. And I have gone there for the past 12 years. And I've shared twice a year there. And I did not know until recently when I went last year. So there's about 500 women there. And it is the country's largest Christian, this is a long thing, the country's largest Christian women long-term facility. Okay, meaning that women can come for 6 months, a year, year and a half. They can bring their babies. They can get a college education. They can get job training. They can get medical. They can get dental. It is amazing. There's 500 women, y'all, and it's one in and one out. So some women are waiting from jail. Some women are waiting from the streets. Some women are waiting, the people that live next to you, because addiction knows no. Don't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, you got a lot or you got a little. And so I go to this place and I'm sharing my testimony and preaching. And I open up this journal and out falls this envelope from Release City. And I know that God was sending me a breadcrumb through one of you, and I don't know who it was, my journal was sitting right up here. They didn't put a name on it. They didn't put anything on it. And to me, that was a sign in that moment to keep going. You're exactly where you need to be. So I don't know who that was, but I want to thank you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the amount. And I told Pastor Bradley, I said, you know, the first time I came here, I was, like the what you're giving towards this giving fund and what you're doing, God sees every dollar. He sees every dollar that you work for, every dollar that you give. You are investing and sowing into the kingdom. And I cannot wait to come and walk. I will dance through the doors of this new building, okay? Because it's happening. It's happening because of your generosity. And y'all know this, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. So at that time, y'all, I was wondering, I was like, God, I was like, you know, what are we, what's next? You know, because when you're an entrepreneur and a speaker and a coach, you know, you always got to have things lined up. Now, some of y'all who have always worked at a job where you got paid every 2 weeks or every week, bless you, you know, because you know that paycheck's coming. For those in here that are business owners or entrepreneurs, let me see your, okay. All right, business owners or entrepreneurs, man, you gotta hustle, you know, and pray and believe. And not that you don't, if you work where you get a, I'm not dismissing or diminishing anything. I'm just saying it's a little different. And so I was going, okay, God, what's next? I started this movement. I walked away, and we celebrated 9 years this year, over 100 colleges, NFL teams, law enforcement, border patrol, churches, maximum security prisons. And so for many, many years, I would get a check, and it would go straight back into the business. It would pay multiple people in the movement. And then if anything was left over, I would take that home, right? And so I was saying to God, God, you know, what's next? You know, like, please, Lord, I'm doing all I can on socials and here and marketing and all that, but what's next? I need you to send the speaking engagements and send the people that I can coach. And I remember one day I was looking out my back door, and I would often go out my back door, and I live across from Kings Bay. And I would see the blinking lights at Kings Bay from the naval station there. And I got a call in December, y'all. And because I had done some work with another company, one woman that I had done some crazy, amazing work with went home and told her husband what kind of great work I had done. And so he calls me and he says, oh, by the way, we have a project at Kings Bay, and would you come work for us for an entire year? So here's the nugget, y'all. Here's the breadcrumbs. Those flashing lights were there the entire time. I went back and thought about it, and the whole time I was on my back porch praying for God to tell me what's next, to give me where, and anything that comes in, I turn back around and give. You know, I'll go places where normally they don't have funds. I'll give bracelets. I'll go into prisons. I'll give books out. People laugh with me. They're like, man, you give away a lot of books. I said, yeah, because people need them. People need Jesus. And so the reason why I'm sharing this story, y'all, was here I was, and I was worried. And when we worry, we don't have room for faith. When we worry in our human condition, we're saying to God, I don't trust you. And so I'm on my back porch going, God, you got to help me. You got to help me. And the whole time he's got blinking red lights going, I got you. And now, yes. And now I'm like, Lord, you had it the whole time. I mean, you had it the whole time. You know, do y'all ever do that? And you're like, he comes through and you go, thank you, God. And then you kind of feel like a fool for all the worrying you did, right? Like all the worrying you did. So I just want to remind you this week to open your eyes as I close, open your eyes to the breadcrumbs, to the red flashing lights. Just remember me, okay? To the red flashing lights that God was sending me the entire time to say, I got you. I'm going to buy you. I'm going to give this company to buy you out for an entire year so that you can go and do and pour into your family and help your family because your husband has helped you and supported you when the checks were late and where things weren't happening. And y'all, many people wouldn't get up here and talk about that. You know, we have this stigma around money, you know, where we don't want to talk about or lack or fear. I don't want to talk about that. Makes me look less professional. I don't want to talk about that. I don't look like I have it all together. Newsflash, none of us have it together. Okay? That's the reality there. But I just came to tell you this morning as we close, I just came to tell you this morning that you being open, you sharing what you're going through and what's happening in your messy middle and praising anyway will lead somebody else home. It'll be the red flashing lights that somebody else needs. It'll be the breadcrumbs that somebody else needs. Recently, I got some bad news and it broke my heart, and I was in my kitchen, y'all. And I got the news, I was in my kitchen and I went bawling. And I raised my hand in the midst of my tears. I raised my hand, I said, because I'm gonna praise God in this storm. I'm going to praise God in the messy middle. I'm going to praise Him. And I'm just telling you today, if you're in the messy middle, don't you dare let the enemy steal your praise. Don't you dare let the enemy steal your prayer, your praise at the midnight hour. If you're in that midnight hour today, y'all, I want to do something here. If you're in that midnight hour and you're in the messy middle, I want you to be bold enough, if you will, just to raise your hand for me so I know who I'm praying for. I got you. Now I want to do something even crazier. And if you don't want to, that's okay. I'll just stay here and I'll be by myself. But if you're in that messy middle, I'd love for you to come forward. And the people that have got one foot on the other side, we're going to circle around you and we're going to pray for you. Okay, we're going to pray for you. If you're in the messy middle, get up out of your seat and come here and let us pray for you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let us pray for you. Thank you for the courage. Thank you for the courage. God sees your courage. God sees your courage. Thank you. Thank you to every brave soul. Y'all, have chills on my kneecaps. When I have chills on my kneecaps, that means the Holy Spirit is present. He loves your vulnerability. He loves your truth. Come on. Come on. If you're waiting, if you're nervous about the diagnosis, if the money's acting funny, if your marriage has got trouble, if your child is not with God, if you're somebody's battling addiction, if you're worried about the holidays, if you're worried about how you're going to make ends meet, if your family's falling apart, come. Come right now. Come on up and let's just make room, come around the side, because then what we're going to do, and this is, you know, this is God's, look, Pastor Bradley said to me, and he says this to me every time, he says, just end it how you want to end it. I trust you, sister. That trust with his flock is something else. So the rest of the church who's got a foot on the other side, who feels like, because, you know, by the way, can I tell y'all something? It's like this. You in the mess, you on the top of the right now of the ride? Hold on, babies, because we know, right? So if you feel like you have, you're taking a breath, God's brought you across the messy middle, I want to invite you, not only one, there's two options here. One, just to reach your hand to everybody here at the front. But secondarily, if y'all want to just want to come up and you want to circle around them in the back, I want you to, if you feel and you know God has come through for you in your messy middle and you want to put your hands and lay hands on somebody here who needs your strength, we are better together, y'all. Did y'all know that? COVID not teach us anything. We need each other. We need hugs. We need love. We need it. If God has answered your prayer and brought you through the messy middle, then I invite you boldly to get up here and just lay your hands on somebody. Lay your hands on somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Thank you, God. Don't you ever let the enemy tell you that you don't have the boldness and the power of Jesus Christ in your soul, in your fingertips, in your mind, in your heart. Remember, y'all are sacred space holders, and we will get through this messy middle. All right, so we're going to do this. We're going to pray, and if you're in your seat, will you just reach your hand towards these people right here? If you don't get up, just reach your hands toward these people. And if you've come up behind them, come up around the side if you can and just touch somebody, okay? I appreciate y'all's boldness. Can I tell y'all, and before we pray, in these times, to be bold for Christ. He's calling us to be bold. He gave you a voice for a reason. He gave you your synapses and your brain firing for a reason. Thank you. All right, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, God, and I just pray, Lord, I pray for these people that are in the messy middle. I pray, Lord, that in my messy middle, God, that you've given me the strength to raise my hand. You've given me the strength to proclaim. You've given me the strength to praise you. And God, I thank you that you're sending an earthquake. That you're sending an earthquake because we pray. You're sending an earthquake because we praise. I thank you, God, that there are people that are watching us, what we do while we are in the messy middle. And God, we are a church. We are your flock. And we will pray and praise. We will proclaim your name. If we grumble and we stumble, we'll get back up and ask for forgiveness, God, because we know you're not done with us yet. We know you're not done with our story yet. So I pray every soul in this room, every soul that is tired, every soul that is scared, every soul that is worried, every soul that is broken down, God, give them a supernatural strength, Lord, for them to know that they just got to keep swimming, and that you're swimming with them and you will carry them to the other side, and that the messy middle does not last. It doesn't last. And thank you, Lord, for the people in the back that have come, Lord, the intercessors, the people that you have brought them to the other side of the swamp, of the messy middle, and they're here praying over every soul that's still in it. God, in this time as we approach the holidays, give us margin to do more. Give us margin to lift up. Give us margin to give a ride, to give a meal, to give a smile, to give encouragement. Give us margin for somebody to make us a cup of hot tea with love. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, that out of all these people in the front that are going through the messy middle, that we will get to declare when it is over that you did it. But in the middle, we'll keep praising and praying in the middle. We will not stop. The enemy has to flee from their lives. If you're in their families, if you're in their marriages, he has to flee in the name of Jesus. He and any of his assignments, any demons, anything that is on their life, he has to flee. And we will stand on the word of God. We will stand on your word, God, while we are in the messy middle. Father God, we just thank you and we love you and we honor you. In your precious name we pray, amen. And before you go back to your seats, one last thing. I learned this. If there is anybody in this room that if you died today and you do not know that you're going to heaven and you need to pray that prayer, I just want to give an opportunity for anybody who doesn't know, anybody who is confused, I want to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. I never want to leave this place. Okay, we got a body of believers. We got a body of prayers. Who's going to invite somebody to church this week? Who's going to make a post? Who's going to pray and praise in your messy middle this week? Can we put up that slide real quick? Okay, we can go back to our seats. I love y'all. I just have one more thing for y'all. This is a QR code. I have a free affirmation journal. If you want to follow me, one of my sisters over here said, I follow you on Facebook. I love your journey. So you just if you need help, you just grab your phone and open up your camera app and you can scan that. They'll leave that up hopefully here after church so you can walk up to it if you need to, or you can Zoom. And this puts you on my mailing list. I promise I don't spam you. I just tell you about stuff I have going on and what's happened in my travels. I tell you about faith. And so you can get that afterwards. And I just want to say thank y'all. I love y'all so much. I love coming here. It is the highlight of my year and my week, and y'all are family to me. So God bless y'all. Love you.
How many enjoyed Rachel? Y'all give it up one more time. Amen. So proud of what God is doing in your life, and that we are connected for life. And how many are ready to watch her dance, do the moonwalk in the new building? Amen. Amen. I love you too. I tell you what. Somebody said, is he going to preach now? Nope, I'm not. But I tell you what, how many needed that today? Let me say this. You may say, well, I'm not in the middle of a mess right now. Well, this is what I know. Life is messy. So your next step, have you ever been in your, how many got dogs? Ever walked out in your backyard and you step, you know what I'm talking about? You step and it wasn't a solid ground. It was... and it hadn't rained. You know what I'm talking about? Your next step could be in a mess. And one of the things that stands out, and that's, we know all know that story. The thing that I, and she read it. The thing that stands out to me is this. when she said, and the Bible says that the prisoners were listening. See, we're free. She just said, we're the body. So we walk in freedom. Some of y'all, well, but I'm in a mess. No, you can still walk in freedom in the mess. That's what she said. That's what she said. That's what she said. But there are people who do not walk in freedom, who don't know Jesus. They're in prison. So guess what our responsibility is? Get over yourself. See, that's why we kindred spirit, because she edgy like I edgy. Like I is edgy. Get over yourself and your situation and your mess. Because you can't lead people to freedom when you're in the middle of your mess. That's why you've got to get out of yourself. And because the prisoners are watching. The people that you pull up to at Walmart, the people that you pull up to in the parking lot, the people that you slide up next to do a job with this week, they're in prison. If they don't know Jesus, they're in prison. And we have a responsibility to show them they can get out of this mess. And the only way you're going to do it is a relationship with Jesus. So you have a challenge. She's already done it, but I'm giving you another one. And that is, get over yourself. Look outside of your mess, because somebody's mess is always muddier than yours. Amen? And we got a responsibility. That's why God's got us in the city. To release the captives. To release those who are lost and in darkness. Y'all ready for round two? I'm ready to go right here. I ain't even talking about leaving. I'm talking about staying. I'm just kidding. Whew. Thank you. Thank you. We got that in common too. And if you follow her on social media, you know she's a crier. Just like your pastor. Be a space holder for somebody this week. Be intentional with what you carry. Invite people into your space. Because they live in homes where it's chaotic and they don't even want to be home. Create a space for somebody that's safe this week. So, Father, we accept the challenge. Father, I thank you for the ministry of our dear friend. God, I ask that you would continue to open up doors of ministry. Places where she can set up spaces. That she doesn't have to knock on a door, they'll come knocking on hers. And if they got a blinking light across the waterway, Father, let it blink. But Father, open up doors of ministry and opportunities to point people to you. Father, go with us this week. I ask that you give us a great week. Bring us back safe next Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Rachel will be at the back. Her books are available. Don't forget this Sunday, next Sunday, last Sunday for the merch. And then y'all have a great week. We love you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church, or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.